This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAprepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAprepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Fennelli.
Everyone all set? Cocked, locked, hour number two of USA Prepares. Bert Bertonis is with us. I think you're going to find this subject absolutely fascinating. And actually, some of it makes my blood boil. I'm not kidding. Welcome, Bert.
Hey, Vince. We got a... figure out how to cool you off a little there. We don't want to get you too angry, but yes, we're going to be talking about battery technology, EVs. We're going to talk about what's real, you know, what the facts are on batteries. You know, I think we can all agree on the facts, and then, you know, there, some of us may have opinions. We may have different ideas on where we should go. We can evaluate one concern being greater than another, but we need to say what the facts are. Those are indisputable. Facts are facts. Then aside from that, people can make decisions based on those facts, and those are, you know, open to different viewpoints. But there's some things with batteries that I think a lot of people don't know. So we're going to get into what's really going on specifically as it relates to electric vehicles. And everybody's saying now, well, the price of gas, we got to all go EV. That's easier said than done, as we know. So that's going to be the primary topic for this morning for class on USA Prepares.
Well, let's get right into it, Bert. And then I hope we have time for something that is planned to be ubiquitous. And ubiquitous, class, means everywhere. Omnipresent, and when you hear about this, it's going to be upsetting. It will make your blood boil. So, Bert, let's get into batteries. Let's talk about
the technology. So, first of all, I want to give credit. Somebody sent me an article that spurred this, and I want to give credit to his name is Glenn Matheson. I do not know him. Somebody sent me this. They thought, knowing that we talk about it a lot, that we'd be interested in it. So a lot of the information we're gleaning is from a summary that apparently he posted on the Internet. But anyhow, so let's start with the fact that batteries themselves do not make the power. And let's put aside your standard one-use batteries. I mean, there does take energy to make those. But we're really focusing here on rechargeable batteries. So let's first start and have everyone understand that those batteries do not miraculously just get born with energy. You need energy to put into those batteries. So that energy has to be made somewhere. So, you know, where is it made? It's made, first of all, there's chemicals in there, so it takes energy to make the chemicals that go in the battery. But the electricity that goes in to charge those batteries as they're used from day to day, that's from electricity. And that electricity is made by either coal or uranium or plutonium if it's a nuclear plant, or natural gas, or there's diesel fuel generators. We don't allow them in California. California, we're limited to solar power. We have some wind power. Primarily out here, we have natural gas-powered power plants. We do have about 20% nuclear, a lot of water power. That's about depends on how the water level is, but 10 or 20%. So you have to generate the energy to put into the battery. So let's make it clear that that's energy right there that's going in somewhere. But and by the way, in part of the country, that's coal. And coal is about the worst of the energy of what you can burn in terms of pollution. So let's start out with one of the first discrepancies, do we want to say glaring contrast of the fact that we're burning more energy from coal, because that's oftentimes the marginal power. That's what they're burning more of in China now as the price of oil and petroleum goes up. So we're burning coal to power electric vehicles. So that's something for somebody to think about. Okay, so in terms of basically what's in the batteries, that's another problem, because the batteries are using lithium, they're using various nickel metals, such as nickel metal oxide and nickel cadmium, and we're basically using, can you believe it, over a billion batteries a year, and eventually these batteries, they cannot be recycled. They end up in landfills. So, except here in California, where there is a law that you have to recycle your battery, even small ones, you're not allowed to put them in the trash. So, right off the bat, we got how do we make the batteries and how do we charge the batteries. But aside from that, let's also throw out a couple of other items in the fact that even if you don't use the battery and it's just sitting there, it's discharging. So you're wasting energy even as the battery is just sitting in your car or sitting in whatever rechargeable device you're using it. That battery is just having energy basically ooze out, and it's got to be recharged to replace that energy. Now, if you drive your car every day and recharge it every day, it's probably not an issue. But it is an issue for some things. So then let's throw, if you're following all that, let's throw another biggie. And this is a biggie in more ways than one. A typical EV battery, do you know how much it weighs, Vince?
Oh, I'm thinking about a ton.
Well, you're close. And I believe the bigger ones are a ton, which is 2,000 pounds. Typical one's about 1,000 pounds. So that's the size of about a full trunk in a car. So that's why, I have two EVs, one that's all EV and one that's a plug-in hybrid, and they both have very small trunks. And that's because where the trunk would have been is basically 25 pounds of lithium and 60 pounds of nickel and 50 pounds of manganese and 20 pounds of cobalt and 200 pounds of copper and aluminum, steel, and plastic. So they're big and they take up weight. So that's another thing people don't realize. Sorry for that sound there. So basically, all those things considered, why are we going to electric? And a lot of people are asking those questions. Oh, and I left out the most important one, toxic components. Okay, so toxic components. So do you know that for a typical EV, so we're just saying, one car, in order to get that battery into one car, we are processing about 25,000 pounds of brine to create the lithium, about 30,000 pounds of raw ore to get the cobalt, 5,000 pounds of raw nickel ore for the nickel, and 25,000 pounds of ore. So that's, that's basically, for people who don't know, that's like the dirt mixed in with the copper or whatever metal it is. So 25,000 pounds of copper ore. So all told, just for one battery, for one car, we're digging up, listen to this, 500,000 pounds, 500,000 pounds of the Earth's crust for just one battery. So some other facts, and again, what I'm saying here are facts. So we can talk later about are there offsetting advantages, and I think there are, but two-thirds of the world's cobalt comes from the Congo. In the Congo, they have no pollution controls. They have children doing the mining, and the children die because this is generally toxic. And do people think about, I mean, and I know you have some thoughts, Vince, but do people think about the rest of the world as they gleamingly go to buy their EV and show it off? So I think there are offsetting factors, but we're not paying enough attention to the whole supply chain. You know, that's a word that's getting a lot of use lately, supply chain. So when you go out and buy and drive an electric vehicle, you need to be aware of what the complete supply chain is, and that's a vastly different supply chain than it is for your conventional automobile that is generally having most of the items sourced in more traditional ways and more efficiently. Now, Vince, I'll probably surprise some people. Other people won't be surprised that they know my view. I think if we can control these things and act on them, and you know, these are very big numbers in terms of pollution to the planet, but if we can, I think we can get these things controlled, and if we can, there's still advantages to electric vehicles, and the big one is because electric cars are 90% efficient, and your traditional gas car is 25% efficient, so it's more energy efficient. So I know, Vince, you and I are kind of, you know, we take the facts that I just laid out, and then we come to different conclusions, and that's totally fair. I'm saying, you know, we can do some work on it, and you're saying we're not going to probably get it. You know, I don't want to speak for you, but you're probably going to say, well, those things are just too drastic. And I think we can also both agree that we need to cut down how much energy we use, period. And we're burning more energy on the planet than we need to. So, but those are some facts that a lot of people don't know of what has to go into an electric vehicle, specifically the battery. It's really Vince, electric motors have been around for 150 years. I mean, people find it maybe hard to believe. We had electric motors in the late 1800s. The first cars that were invented used either steam or electricity, and very often electricity with very crude batteries. So there hasn't been a lot of innovation on the electric motors. Yes, we've added some better, you know, diodes and semiconductors and electronic control, but almost the same motor that we had 150 years ago. The innovation has been on the battery side and really needs to continue to be on the battery side because, in my view, that's the biggest problem with the EVs. And a lot of things that I just listed, I doubt most people know. You know, the fact that we have to dig up 500,000 pounds of dirt from the earth in order to create battery for one electric vehicle.
Is that my cue?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I need to have a sip of coffee.
Well, maybe you could have more than a sip. We're going into a commercial break. Got about 15, 20 seconds remaining in this segment. But, yeah, I do have some comments on some of the things you said, some of the facts. And I'll try to bring some of my views to the table. And I'm not happy about electric vehicles. We'll be right back.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Hey, Jimmy, turn off the video games. Let's go play some ball.
I'm in the middle of my game. Can't we go later?
Come on, it'll be fun. It will be there when you get back.
Okay, but there's no way you're gonna win.
Why don't you grab some water and granola bars, and then we'll see about that.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard. And when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAPrepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAPrepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
So, Bert, are you sure you want me to do this? Are you sure you want me to say what my thoughts are?
Yeah. No, we listed some issues that are really, and by the way, I want to get into how we generate the electricity too, because a lot of people think, clean energy. I also want to get into how so-called clean energy is actually generated and what it takes in the solar panels and the windmills, but Vince, what do you think of electric vehicles?
Okay. Well, first, since we're talking about facts, and we'll be discussing this, there's no such thing as clean energy. There's no such thing. It does not exist.
That is correct.
Okay. Second thing is, these are facts. Okay, so the first fact is there's no such thing as clean energy. There's the term clean energy. But there's no such thing as clean energy at this moment, and not for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, it's a misnomer that's being overly used to claim a utopian idea that just does not exist in real life. It doesn't exist.
Like the term Patriot Act. Okay, so in reality, class, batteries, regardless of whether they're a storage battery or a dry cell that you put in a flashlight, you know, the good old days of EverReady and Rayovac and Mallory batteries, you know, those dry cells, they lose their ability to produce or store electricity over time. And I can prove it to you. So if you have a car battery in your vehicle, and you don't use your car, you don't start it for a month, that battery will be dead. It won't start the car. And so if you think about it, it's, I haven't started it in a month. That's why it's dead. Now, batteries, they are typically drained by the electronics that are running in the background, like, you know, the security system, etc. And it has a slight drain on the car's battery while it's sitting there. All right. You know, the system that allows you to push that remote key fob and unlock the doors. Okay. So there's always current being drawn, small amount, by the computers that run some of the security systems and other systems of the car. They drain the battery. Now, even if you disconnect an automotive battery and there's nothing attached to it, it's just sitting there on the floor all by itself, no wires attached to it, and you fully charge it, in about a month or two, it'll still be dead. Okay? So it'll drain faster if it's in a car, but it'll still lose its current holding capacity over time. Now, that's true of nickel-iron cells or batteries. It's true of all of them. They all lose their charge. That's another fact. So even if they're doing nothing, it takes energy to bring them back up to a full charge, if they'll even accept a full charge. Those are facts. Bert, do you agree?
Oh, absolutely. And okay. Now, there is the AG... P battery is a little better, but we don't have to go into those technicalities. But yes, I agree. I concur.
Okay. I know for a fact, I ran for the board of directors of an electric cooperative here in the corrupt state of Missouri. And I know for a fact that the power grid, the distribution system, the wires, the transformers, the step down, the step up transformers, all of that, what's called the grid, is currently not capable of supporting all of the electric vehicles and the electronic equipment that is envisioned for our future. It is not of sufficient capacity. That means right now it flat out can't do it. Bert, do you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. Next fact. When during the oil embargo of 1973 and 1974, and you all remember that if you're as old as Bert and I are, that you couldn't buy gasoline unless you had a license plate in many states, and they would say, well, the license plate ends with an odd number, so you can buy gasoline on an odd number day, like day number, you know, the first of the month, the third of the month, the fifth of the month, the seventh, that kind of thing, right? You couldn't buy gasoline if you had an odd number license plate on an even day. So they had odd even rationing because fuel was in somewhat short supply, at least to the customers. So what the federal government did was they implemented a speed limit, a national speed limit. I'll flesh this out when we come back.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nanocolloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nanocolloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
We're learning more about a head-on collision in Texas that killed members of a college golf team. NTSB Vice Chairman Bruce Lansbury.
A 13-year-old child was behind the wheel of the pickup truck.
Nine people in all perished in West Texas Tuesday night. An early investigation revealed that the truck had a spare wheel on its driver's side front. That spare tire seemed to have failed, causing the truck to swerve in front of the van. Lucas Denny, who allegedly formed a militia he dubbed the Proud Boys of North Texas, pled guilty on Thursday to a single count of assaulting or resisting police during January 6. Presidents Biden and Jinping are meeting virtually this hour. While Chinese state media has stepped away from primarily pro-Russian coverage of the war in Ukraine, they do continue to blame the United States for the war. The White House says China is helping Russia skirt past U.S. sanctions with money and war materials. Thanks for listening. USA Radio News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Well before Russian troops attacked Ukraine, American Jimmy Hill went there to be with his Ukrainian partner Ira, who has multiple sclerosis. When war broke out, Hill stayed despite the deteriorating conditions in the northern Ukrainian city of Chernihiv. Ukrainian police said he died during an artillery attack Thursday while he waited in a breadline. Russian President Vladimir Putin went on TV this week to slam Russians who don't back his war, calling them the scum and the traitors, and said a necessary self-cleansing of society will only improve Russia. President Vladimir Putin via a translator.
But any people, the Russian people especially, are able to distinguish true patriots from bastards and traitors, and will spit them out like a gnat that accidentally flew into their mouths. I am certain that this necessary and natural self-cleaning of our society will only strengthen our country, our solidarity, togetherness, and our readiness to answer any calls to action.
Because of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, Europe is going to have to wait at least several more years and may need NASA's help before its first planned Mars rover can get to work. The European Space Agency said Thursday that it will no longer attempt to launch the ExoMars rover this year on a Russian rocket and may now have to strip out many of the mission's Russian components. A TGIF to you, my friend. I'm Lance Pry, and we are USA Radio News.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAprepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Finelli.
Bert's with us, and I think we're dispelling some of the rumors and myths and misinformation about the grid, electric vehicles, batteries, etc. And so I was mentioning that the 1973-1974 Arab oil embargo caused a shortage of fuel available to the customers in the United States of America. Federal government decided that what we need to do is conserve fuel, which is something that Bert was talking about, use less. And we are advocates of using less of everything here at USA Prepares. So in order to use less fuel, a national 55-mile-an-hour speed limit was implemented. Okay? Because you use less fuel, if you go 55, then it's 65 or 75. And we've talked about that with how to save money and increase your economy. I've done a class on that in the last couple of weeks. So there's a sweet spot. And the sweet spot for most vehicles, most gasoline, diesel-powered vehicles, is around 55 miles an hour. It might be 52, it might be 56, but it's around 55. The sweet spot for electric vehicles is 25 miles an hour.
Yeah, and Vince, do you know why that is?
Well, it's a whole bunch of reasons, but
yeah.
why don't you give us
the primary thing with a conventional car is air resistance becomes a big factor. And well, it's a factor with all cars. So let's just say it's air resistance, and air resistance generally goes up as the cube of your speed. So for a conventional car, 50, 55, like you said, is optimal because the air resistance isn't too bad, and the engine can generally operate at a more efficient point. Again, it depends on the transmission you have. You want to try and get the RPMs down and the throttle plate open. For old cars with fuel injection, it's probably not the same thing, but by the way, that was a problem with cars in the 60s and 70s. We put in these enormous engines, and then you'd have to slow them down by clamping the throttle plate, so you were burning a really inefficient mix of fuel. But that's another point for another day. So it's air resistance. Now, the thing with an electric vehicle, because it's already so efficient, that point for the air resistance moves down from 55. Because it's already so overwhelmingly efficient, the air resistance becomes a more substantial factor. And that's why you notice a lot of electric vehicles are shaped very aerodynamically and all kinds of other things to reduce that air resistance. So basically, Vince, in one word, it's air resistance. Sorry, that's two words.
Okay. All right. So next point is, I know for a fact that we have a fairly large solar array here at the farm. And it can generate enough electricity on sunny days to power our farm, our entire farm. And I also know that solar array, which is roughly 13, 14 feet tall, roughly 45, 50 feet long, that's just one array. And there's another array that we have on a rooftop of the barn. Put all that together, it takes two full days of nothing but, two sunny days, one after the next, in order to charge one electric vehicle one time. So the amount of electricity to run our farm for 2 days is equal to the amount of electricity needed to charge an electric vehicle once. Okay, that's another fact. Next fact is there's no such thing as a viable electric-powered farm tractor. There's no such thing. Because electric batteries, the battery bank does not have the energy density sufficient to run a farm tractor to do the kind of heavy work that is required in farming. Next fact is that you mentioned 500,000 pounds of earth is moved in order to build one battery for one electric car. That's just the first battery. That's not the replacement that you're going to need in 5 to 7 years. That's just the first one.
Yeah.
Now,
so think about those trucks.
Right. Well, that's exactly where I was going, Bert. So I believe, now I can't prove this, but I'm willing to bet, and I'm not a betting man, this is a sure thing for me, that none of the excavators that are used to mine this 500,000 pounds of earth to build one battery for one car, I'm willing to bet not one of those excavators is electric powered. I believe they're diesel powered.
Yeah, I think you'd be making a good bet there, Vince.
Okay, and then the next point, and this is another fact, that as you mentioned, Bert, the 1800s is when we saw our first electric vehicle. It was actually 1890, and it was built in the United States in Iowa, Des Moines, Iowa, by a chemist in 1890, and the electric motor has really, as you said, has not really changed. The central components are the same for electric motors back then and today. Now, I'm sure there are refinements and et cetera, but the basic principle is the same. And so is the basic principle of the internal combustion engine. The four-stroke engine is the same as it was when it was first developed over 100 years ago. So the mechanics of both the electric motor and the internal combustion engine, whether it be a diesel or gasoline-powered, are the same. We've made some improvements, but the basic design is unchanged. And those are more facts. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
Okay. So now we are sitting with we are in a disinformation, misinformation campaign by the mainstream media, by the manufacturers of batteries and automobiles, telling people that electric vehicles are the bee's knees. This is where it's at. This is where we need to go. And if everybody bought one, we wouldn't be able to watch TV and we'd all be in the dark because there's not enough electricity generated to charge the cars. And there's not enough capacity wires, if you will, overhead and underground to transmit that electricity. Would you agree?
Yes, I agree. And okay. I also want to get into solar and windmills.
I'll hit the mute button. Back to you.
Well, so I agree totally with everything you said. Makes sense. But let's talk about where the energy comes from. Everyone's saying, no problem with electricity. Just put up more solar cells and more windmills. So, Vince, do you know what kind of chemicals are used to make solar cells? Let me list the major elements for you. So in order to make a modern solar cell that you would typically put on your roof or an electric plant, you need to use hydrochloric acid, sulfuric acid, nitric acid, hydrogen fluoride, trichloroethylene, and acetone. That's to process it. To actually make it, you use gallium arsenide, copper indium, gallium diselenide, and cadmium telluride, all toxic. Not only that, the factories are generally toxic because the silicon dust is a hazard. So not so easy to make these things, and you can't recycle them. So you have to basically destroy them in a landfill or melt them or whatever. I mean, you can recycle them to melt the metal out of them, but, you know, you can't just take them and recharge them or something like that. Doesn't sound good, does it?
Well there's more to it than that, and I know for a fact because I've got them. So that is without the frame material to hold the solar cells that get cemented onto a backplane. That's without all that and the frame to hold the backplane up. So, for example, there's an aluminum frame. And the aluminum is anodized, so there's chemicals that are used in the clear and black anodizing of the aluminum frame that holds the solar cells to the backplane. There's lead that's used in the solder and tin that's used in the solder, let alone the glass that covers the surface of the silicon solar panels, you know, the wafers themselves. So a lot, and there's plastic too. And then there's wire. And then there's plastic insulation on the wire. And then the plastic boxes for the connectors. Now this is all in the solar panel itself. I mean, if you buy a solar panel, everything that I've mentioned is included. That's before you bolt it on and wire it up.
Yeah,
there's
so
still wire in it.
That doesn't sound very green to me.
No. And there's diodes to prevent the flow of electricity from going backwards. You know, I'm talking about DC diodes in the solar panel. And that everything that you've mentioned is absolutely dangerous. And the amount of real estate that solar panels cover is huge. So there's this belief that you could put solar panels on the roof of a vehicle and you can drive around. Well, yeah, you can after you let it charge for 3 or 4 weeks in the sun.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about like a golf cart. I'm talking about a golf cart. Okay. I'm not talking about a car. You can't paint solar panels on the skin of a vehicle and have it be viable as a means of transportation.
Yeah, the math doesn't work. You need an area, you know, like 10 or 100 times larger than the car. So the math just, it doesn't pencil out. So, Vince, as bad as solar panels are, windmills. Do you know how much a windmill, a typical windmill, weighs? 1,700 tons. That's including, you know, the posts, the concrete. So that's about 20. That's about the weight of 20 houses. Each windmill has 1,300 tons, not 1,300 pounds, 1,300 tons of concrete, 295 tons of steel, 48 tons of iron, 28 tons of fiberglass. So besides the enormous weight of these huge windmills, they also use rare earth elements of neodymium, praseodymium, and dysprosium. I probably said those wrong. And the blade itself, 80,000 pounds. And with all that, it only lasts 15 to 20 years. And you can't recycle them. You can, you know,
Have you ever seen a windmill blade being hauled on the interstate class? Have you ever seen one? It takes a tractor trailer, the longest tractor trailer that's allowable on the road. That's how long just one of the three blades of a wind turbine is.
And let me tell you who's not happy when they see those blades being hauled, and that is any birds. They don't like to see them on their way to a windmill.
Yeah, it's like a blender. It's like an aerial blender for birds. That's what it is. It just chops them up. And then the people who live in the area can feel the boom in the ground. The ground vibrates as the wind goes through these blades. It's nothing but bad news.
Yep. I don't think it's green, Ben.
I think we nailed that point home, that it is absolutely a lie. It's not green. Bert, I'm hoping that we'll have enough chance to talk about Ubiquitous and a company called Ubiquia with what they want to do with 5G. Will we have time?
Absolutely.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from AmeriCare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. AmeriCare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. teamgaday.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. And the IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
That's what you're going to hear in the next couple of minutes doesn't make your blood boil. Nothing will. Bert?
Yeah, and Vince, real quick, I want to correct myself on something I said earlier. I said the superior car battery to get was AGB. It's actually AGM technology, and those car batteries, although they cost a little bit more, they last longer. They can start more times, 60,000. They're more durable. They have lower resistance, meaning you get a higher output power. The only disadvantage, really, of it, besides costs for an AGM battery, is that you do not want to overcharge them. They don't like that. But it is really the better battery technology for the small amount increase in cost. You get a much better car battery. So, Vince, you know how we talk about 5G being prolific and the fact that they're putting the 5G everywhere? That's, I mean, the basic business model for rolling out 5G and the higher data rates is basically taking over more frequencies and putting more units everywhere. And we talk about that, you know, they may be putting these in every house and building, and do we really want that extra RF energy? But what's going on right now, because they're getting resistance, you know, a lot of people, you probably don't want a 5G transmitter on your farm, a cellular base station, basically, is what we're talking about. So they're rolling out a plan with electric companies across the country, and AT&T is kind of in the forefront of this, to basically put a 5G transceiver, so basically a 5G small base station on the top of every traffic light. And the beauty of that, from their standpoint, is you get power. Because that's the problem. How do you get power to these things? So they get power. Now, to get the signal, they still have to either run a fiber optic cable to it or have it, you can relay the signal. You can have another channel that basically brings a millimeter wave signal into the base station. But the point of this is they want to put one of these on every traffic light across the country. So you can resist them putting it on your farm in your house. Well, it's up to the power company, and I'm not sure about other regulations to stop them, but it's really up to the power company and the FCC, if it's approved. They want to put these on top of every power light, and I'm looking at a picture of one of them. It's a little flat unit that goes on right on top of bolts right on top of the pipe, beaming the traffic light glass bulb, and that'll be radiating from every traffic light. So we're talking about the lights that light up the road underneath across the country.
Okay,
looking
so
at an Ericsson 4402 radio that they're rolling out for AT&T.
So the question is, why are they doing this? The reason they're doing this, Glass, is because streetlights are everywhere. There's 360 million streetlights around the world. And they have a common socket. And that socket, you know, like when you screw an incandescent light bulb into your lamp or your recessed lighting, you have a common socket. Well, there's a common socket that's used for streetlights, and it's called ANSI C136, A-N-S-I. American National Standards Institute, C-136. So it's common. It's been around for 55 years. So it's perfect. All they have to do is make a little adapter for this light bulb socket, and they can hook onto the power, the AC power that powers this street light. They can power this box that's like the size of a shoebox. They stick that on top of the street light, and now you've got Wi-Fi everywhere except 5G. You have 5G everywhere. And how far is the spacing of the streetlights? Well, I know. It's 170 feet, 170. That's roughly 10 cars bumper to bumper to bumper to bumper. That's 170 feet. 10 cars.
Yeah, and they're going to.
Now, if it were trucks, it'd be.
Yeah.
If it were trucks, there would be less than 10. There might be 8 trucks bumper to bumper. I'm talking about pickup trucks. 8. Yeah, bumper to bumper to bumper to bumper. Okay, that's how close this is. You can't get away from this. 360 million lights ready to go to have these tracking systems and pollution systems and life destruction systems mounted because of the individual greed of the CEOs and the shareholders, the sum of the individual greed of these people. It's an outrage.
Well, Vince, they're telling you this should be great because everyone's going to have 4 bars.
You know what, Glass? I don't have any bars, and it is just wonderful. I don't have a single bar because I don't have a cell phone. And
wow.
I don't have a car that has tracking. I don't have a car that will be utilizing this technology. I don't need it. I don't want it. It's going to kill birds. It's going to kill people. It's going to kill, ultimately, every living thing on the planet, as far as I can tell. Bees. Bert, back to you. 10 seconds.
Yeah. It's something to worry about. I don't know how we stop it.
Well, I know how we stop it. I know we stop it, but I can't say it. We can do it. All right, Class. See you Monday.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last 2 decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. ExtendoVite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The 7 herbs in ExtendoVite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on ExtendoVite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get ExtendoVite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.